Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rat pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Whether you're just wrapping up the night shift or on your way to start the day, we got what you need.
Welcome to the morning shift.
It's the most mid team in history.
A whole new way to start your day with nationally televised reporter Tiffany Blackman.
Any pizza for me can be a personal.
Can't wait.
Former Falcons and Alabama offensive lineman Mike Johnson.
I've had my butt chewed by Nick Saban a few times.
You shut your mouth when you're talking to me.
And Atlanta sports radio guru Bo Morgan.
You know who I am? I'm Squid Bill.
You tell him I'm coming. And hell's coming with me, you hear?
It's a new experience.
And a new take on a sports morning show.
The morning shift is on.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now, here's Tiffany, Mike, and Bo.
6:02 on a Wednesday. Good morning. It is the morning shift. Dylon, Day-Day behind the glass. Mike Johnson, Squid. I'm Rob Tribble. I'm an Aries. I'm circumcised. I enjoy long walks. Thoughtful conversations. Where are you going, Mike?
Long conversations, huh?
Thoughtful, long conversations. Hmm. Getting lost in each other's eyes, that sort of thing.
It's funny, because you've always been kind of short with me.
Kind of short with you. Well,
I knew that was headed in a bad direction. It's like watching a freaking car accident. You're like,
watching in slow motion.
Couldn't look away. Couldn't take my earbuds out fast enough.
So watching the Braves game last night, I see behind home plate there's Bo Johnson, there's Andy Bunker and Randy McMichael with his shades, white T-shirt, and a Georgia Bulldogs cap on.
Man, they had a good time.
It looked like they had a great time. Randy was on beer number 5 by the third inning, I think.
That a boy. That a boy.
And good to see Bo's normally toiling and working at Truist Park. It's good to see him be able to sit back there and watch. How'd they get those tickets?
Well, I know it was probably Bo, but I thought to myself, this is probably the biggest game of the year at home, especially for, I mean, as far as weekday games go. This is, you know, that's a monumental game to be like, hey, man, I need to hook up with those second row seats.
I'm pretty,
like, good for you.
Well, I'm pretty sure that when you work in that is it a Delta?
It's Truist. He's
the Truist. The Truist Lounge or whatever.
That's the way to see a game, man. Endless food, endless drink.
Dude,
man,
that bar, there's like 4 bars in that Truist area anyways. But I've been in there when he's working. But I'm pretty sure he gets an allotment like a couple of times a year. He gets, you know, 4. And I'm sure he probably picked them at the beginning of the year, most likely. But the reality is at the end of that game, and I know what happened, but the energy in that stadium at the end of it felt very Octoberish. I know that it wasn't as full as it would be in October, but the way the crowd was reacting to everything felt very October-ish.
Well, speaking of October, man, how about the weather yesterday? Oh, man, it was incredible.
Can't you tell the entire week it's not going to get above 90? And you can tell when it doesn't hit 90. You can just feels a little bit
false fall.
More palatable outside.
And I'm here for it, man. And I was telling Bo earlier, I was like, man, went and picked up the kids, actually stopped and saw some old coworkers up at Lassiter High School yesterday, picked up the kids, got them home, hung out with them a little bit outside, and then walked the dog later. I was like, man, I am so ready for like late September, early October, because that's what it felt like yesterday. I know it's going to get a little bit hotter as we move along, but to Bo's point, yesterday, even the weather felt a little bit more like playoff baseball as you move towards that, man.
Now, Zach Wheeler was sitting on 99 wins last night, did not get win number 100. I said, that's your homeboy, and he goes, nah. I didn't know there was geographic beef within Paulding County, like East Coast, West Coast.
Yeah, man, I don't like those people. See, when I was growing up, it was Paulding County and East Paulding. Those were the high schools. That was it.
Right.
Now then, going into my junior year of high school, we added Hiram High School. And a lot of those kids that filled up Hiram High School literally came from our high school. And so for some reason, they thought we were rednecks, and they weren't, which was odd to say the least. But
the reality, like when you make fun of people from Alabama.
No, those people are. Those people are not. Those people are a lot of things, some of which I can't see on the air.
They share three teeth.
Let me tell you something. But I'll say this. Yeah, I don't have – I'm not an East Paulding guy, man. I'm from the southwest side of the county.
Never trusted those people.
I'm right there on the outskirts of Dallas. I consider myself a Dallas boy, and those East Paulding people, they're close enough to Cobb County. That's what they think they might be. I think they're a little too good for...
Oh, they're coattailing Cobb County?
Yeah, yeah. The old Cobbites.
The irony in this conversation. Like, the Alabama people look at Paulding County like, just because you're an hour away from Atlanta doesn't mean you're high class, kid.
I grew up a bit urban in South Decatur, in Atlanta area. You know, I'm city boy. So, y'all are all country to me. It's all the same to me.
Oh, really?
I didn't know there are degrees.
Well, look, I'm from Pensacola, Florida. We're just straight up, you know, white trash down there. It is what it is. No, it's
And you went to school in Alabama, so I mean, I've never really upgraded.
And you love NASCAR, man. You're a walking stereotype.
I am. Made the trifecta, didn't I?
I do, too.
Just live right there in a triangle.
Well, hold on. I'm from Paulding County. I drive a four-wheel drive truck, and I love NASCAR, too. So I don't know. I don't know what you can say about me, but Zach Wheeler did leave. He's been good. And look, I thought Zach Wheeler was good last night.
He was.
I mean,
he gave his team a chance to win.
If it wasn't for Whit Merrifield and Marcelo Ozuna,
Merrifield, what a double and a triple last. Is Whit Merrifield going to shock the world and hit for the cycle tonight? He got the triple out of the way. That's the toughest one to get done.
Yeah, he got that out of the way right out of the bat. I mean, right off the bat, it was boom, triple. And he ran for that. The home run by the Big Bear when he went yickety, or as Brandon Godwin would say, a big fly from the Big Bear. That was...
it's all about the paws, too.
For one, this swing, we talked about it this morning, the swing is so compact, so powerful. Last year, or two years ago, when he was swinging out of his shoes, he couldn't hit any broadside of a barn. Now he's just staying in there, compact, tight swing, fast hands, and that ball went, what, 420 last night?
432.
Probably? Yeah.
Right there in the trees.
I tell you, when you hit it off a guy like Zach Wheeler, Mike.
Did y'all think that when Ozuna gets called out on his backswing hitting Laureano
on the stolen base?
Laureano
stole the base.
Yeah. Did y'all think for a minute things might get a little spicy? I just feel like, man, there's just something boiling in this series right now. I just have a feeling like tonight or tomorrow night, like somebody's...
I didn't get a spicy vibe when I saw it happen. It was just because it was just kind of a love tap with a bat.
Well, I also
has irritated people in the past with that. Catchers get irritated when you do that.
But I didn't think that one was as bad as the others. I mean, that wasn't, you know, the ones that they've gotten irritated is when they're still down in their crouch, catching the ball, and it hits them in the back of the head.
Yep.
That was one where the catcher stood up, and I felt like he moved into the backswing a little bit. Now, I know that that's a fine line right there, but I didn't think that one was that egregious.
It was a love tap, and Ozuna actually did squat, too. He tried to get out of the way. That's just – I mean, you got to make that. It's a good call.
I understand the rule. Like, yeah. I don't think it was a bad call.
I disagree with it.
I just –
It does seem to happen to Marcel way more than it does anybody else.
Wait, I'm sorry, what? What did you say?
Can't disagree with it.
Yeah, so it wasn't right.
Did that happen to Zeno in one of his games?
Yeah, he told me he got hit in the head.
Yeah.
I mean,
that'll irritate the hell out of me.
I tell you what, though, that was the
JT Realmuto, Mark Zeno, same thing.
But when Zeno got hit in the head the next day, I thought he was a lot more tolerable and personable. I thought we got good. So,
yes. Charge something loose.
Maybe about once a month, if you're in the wooden bat league with Zeno, just give him a little love tap on the back of the helmet.
Don't y'all think, though, winning the first game last night of this three-game set, it is very October-ish, where it's like you need to win the series probably moving forward. And now it's like if we win tonight or tomorrow, I'll feel really good either way about how this series went. Sweep, obviously, is great, but if you can just win one of the next two, I think you'll feel pretty good, you know, as we barrel
through. 5-2 against the Phillies this year, so they've won the head-to-head. I believe they are.
They started the first series. They did well the first series out of the gate.
They scored won like 11 three.
Runs in the second game of the year.
They won 2 of 3, right? They won 2 of 3. They won 2 of 3. And if they could win another 2 and 3, that would be huge because that would give them, what, 6-2 with 4 games left? Is that right?
Yeah, and that's the other thing to kind of highlight. If you win 2 of 3 in this one, you're still barreling towards another series next weekend with Philly.
In Philly.
And that's going to be even probably bigger stakes with that one because if you can win 2 of 3 and then, you know, Philly's not playing extremely well right now, then maybe you can inch a little bit closer. I mean, in theory, you could make a run at first place by 2 weeks from now.
Well, since middle of July, Phillies are 11-19, so they're not exactly setting the world on fire like they were earlier in the season.
But isn't it the situation, though, where if after next week, after you complete the 4-game series with them, isn't it the kind of case that you want it within 2 to 3, if your goal is to have it within 2 to 3 games, and so that way, you know, you win the right games and they lose the right games, and you'll have if you win this series, and at the very least split next series, you'll own the season series, which is big, and it could be big deciding the division if you ended up close with them or like in a tie.
Well, you bring in a Gio Urshela. What's the seventh? Rays are the seventh team he's played for. Released by the Tigers.
Overall, not this year.
No, not this year. Kind of a journeyman, sure, but that's about as good as Alex you can do in that situation. I mean, you get a guy. He's in the league for a reason, mainly for his glove. He did hit 21 homers back in 2019. Career 270 hitter. Maybe he could go off like a Soler or a Jock Peterson or help me, the other
Duval
guy. Duval. Rosario, yeah. Maybe he could have that in the postseason. I don't know. I mean, this looks like between him and Laureano and Merrifield, this looks like a Freddy Gonzalez lineup from 2015. But
it
what
does.
Are you gonna do? But what can you do, though?
I'll tell you this. It definitely doesn't look like your opening day lineup. Nope. I mean, that's the bottom line.
But I just need Urshela to be...
Just filled the position, man.
I needed to be an average Major League Baseball player.
Speaking of which, y'all buried the lead, man. We went all the way through one segment without talking about Grant Holmes and the job he did coming in last night. He was unbelievable.
Grant Holmes they told you last night exactly what they think of Grant Holmes because that was a 1-1 ball game when he entered last night?
Yeah.
And you threw him in there and he threw two? That shows you how much trust and how highly they think of what he has done and who he is right now.
Well, that slider was just nasty last night. So was Lopez's slider, too. He kind of had some runners on base, got out of a bases-loaded jam, still struck out 10, but he kind of had to grind a little bit in five innings, one run. Braves get the victory last night over the Phillies and actually get an insurance run late in the ballgame to get the 3-1 victory. All right, coming back. I didn't even know this was an issue. What is this written on the show sheet? Raheem Morris believes Jesse Bates and Justin Simmons will have no problem playing together. Why would they? I didn't know that was a thing. Are they going to be battling for supremacy and accolades back there?
Well, maybe they'll be battling for who has the most interceptions. We'll
I would
talk
love
about
that,
it.
Yes. Yeah. Talk about that next on the Morning Shift, Sports Radio, 99 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center... Keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
We're going to get on down now.
We're talking all things Atlanta sports and beyond. This is The Morning Shift.
Make some noise!
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Put on the mic, that a boy. This hour brought to you by Morgan & Morgan. Are you injured? Well, you should hire Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. We don't need the Falcons contacting Morgan & Morgan. Final preseason game on Friday night, 7 o'clock against the Jaguars.
7 prime o'clock. You got to get used to playing in primetime a little bit. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Right.
It's a new chapter, new season, the primetime games as they come down the pipe here. So new working hours for me and Bo as well.
Oh, and me, Falcons flyover. I guess I'll hit the airwaves about 12:30 on Friday night.
Yeah, that a boy. Honestly, that sounds fun. I got to be honest with you.
I used to do overnights here every once in a while. Ugh.
Yeah,
but the calls were pretty funny, though.
I was going to say Friday night, though, post-game, 12:30 on a Friday night, like, there's some fun to be had there.
But it's also a celebration show.
Because preseason's over?
That's right. That's absolutely right. See, I know Rob always knows where I'm going. Yeah, I mean, you know, you're like, hey, that's the last game of this season that we'll watch where we won't see our starters or some of us, you know, I don't want to... You know, some semblance of them, if you're yeah. the Braves.
I don't want to talk about Kirk Cousins' birthday party at the water park or his playlist, but that's what we have to go on right now until we get some games going.
The Top 5 Tuesday was lit yesterday, Rob. I don't want to, I did Top 5 songs from Kirk's playlist.
Oh, that's fine.
It was electric.
I saw some ridiculous tweets about Kirk Cousins because he went to a water park. People acting like he's going to get hurt because he's riding a slip and slide.
Well, didn't Ryan Fitzpatrick get hurt in a water park?
Yeah, but Ryan Fitzpatrick's a Harvard guy. He's soft.
I think he did. He's
No, I don't think that's what he got hurt. Was it?
Look that. Can you guys look that up? I thought I saw that somewhere. I could be wrong.
Is he still on the Amazon broadcast?
Yeah, I think so.
I'm actually a big fan of Ryan Fitzpatrick. I do too.
I respect him.
Joe Holly, who played center here and was one of my best buddies, he played for eight years, five here and three in Tampa, I believe. Said Ryan Fitzpatrick by a mile, was his favorite teammate of all time.
What?
By far.
Even better than his good friend Mike Johnson?
Yeah, probably.
Why?
I don't think I'm as cool as Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Did he say why?
No, you were a cancer in the locker room.
He just said the guy, there was like not a situation that the guy could not fit into at a very high level.
Yeah. Dude, that.
Interpersonally gifted, that's what I am.
I mean, the guy's a Harvard grad, but he's also, eight children, but also like, you know, wears chains and, you know. Like just,
oh, it was funny. Yeah, just, it was like when he put on his teammates' hilarious outfit for
he
the,
also really loved Jameis, though. I will say that. Really loved Jameis.
I think everybody that's played with him loves him.
Well, Jameis has got a good personality. He's kind of a goober, you know? But
I haven't heard that word in so long. He is a bit of a clown.
The thing I would say about Ryan Fitzpatrick is, isn't that what you kind of have to be when you're a guy that like you bounce around to all those different teams and you're a quarterback where you have to and you start at so many of those teams? You kind of have to have the personality that you can fit in anywhere, right? Yeah.
What a career that guy had, though.
Dylon has an answer about the water park.
So just as a heads up, it was claimed by actually a radio station caller, oddly enough, that Ryan Fitzpatrick injured his hip at a water park, but it was never confirmed. But it was a radio caller that sparked the rumor that he injured his hip at a water park.
So essentially the same people that I saw on Twitter claiming that Kirk Cousins was going to get hurt. About the same equivalent. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
All right, just checking. I just want to clarify.
Yeah, you hear that, Skip and Larry in the truck? Don't need that smoke today.
Yeah. Right,
don't call.
If you call in about Kirk Cousins at a water park.
You hear that, Chief?
You know.
Squid Billion?
Well, that's more like Will in a guard shack somewhere. And John traveling around somewhere around northeast Georgia.
Six callers yesterday, five from the Mafia, zero from the Nation.
Oh,
he was sour yesterday.
Yeah, well, you know, when you don't have a job, you have time to call a radio station, Rob.
Well, the Mafia's like herpes, just taking over everything.
And you don't get out. You don't get out alive without
aggressive,
it.
Like an aggressive batch of English ivy, just growing over
a
the driveway.
A very aggressive batch.
So how about Raheem Morris in the media?
Well, he's talking about Jesse Bates and Justin Simmons. Well, let's hear what he has to say about them coexisting in that defensive backfield for the Atlanta Falcons.
I think that notion of the strong safety and free safety went out the window a while ago. You know, it's kind of disappeared in the National Football League where safety started to get smaller, when the strike zone got smaller, and all of those things happen. You got to kind of be interchangeable. We were looking for that a long time ago, as Led knows, and I think people have really been doing that for a minute. I think the last kind of system that really featured that was the Seattle 3 with the Cam Chancellor and the Earl Thomas. A couple people mimicked it. But realistically, it started to look like two interchangeable pieces that can do different things, which those guys are, and the unique and great ball skills that they have makes those two guys special.
That's fascinating what he just said.
I thought the same thing.
I've never really thought about that. The strike zone, so you don't really need that safety that can necessarily be the headhunter type.
Well, you know what else, Rob, is I look at it from an offensive perspective. When you are dissecting defenses, right, when you're as a quarterback, when you're looking and you're looking deep, there is a certain structure that really you have to have. And I hate to admit this, but you count on certain things offensively that the defense has to do, right? They have to keep gap integrity, right? For one thing, like when you do slide protections, you know that they're not going to try to fit three guys through the A gap, right? Because that's bad gap integrity. You don't need three guys blocking the gap, you just need one. It's kind of the same thing when you read, you know, the secondary. You look for a free safety, you look for a strong safety. There's a box player and there's a guy playing with the deep range.
Right.
If you don't have either one of those, and you have a guy, you have two guys back there that both can step up in the box and tackle, but also can both rotate to center field and be ball hawks, makes things extremely difficult.
They're both kind of hybrids then.
Right.
They both kind of
fit that role.
Yeah, and talk about the headhunter type player, the hard hitter. I need a sure tackler when that thing's in the middle, especially. But we watched some of the Justin Simmons tape film, whatever you want to call it. We just pulled up the NFL Plus app, right, Mike? And we watched some of his stuff. He is a very good tackler, when it comes up to coming up to the line of scrimmage and making plays in the run game.
In an era where that's a lost art.
Yeah, and it's 6'2", 205. I love to see that. And then you got Jesse Bates. You know what? I realized that the other day we got off the bus, Mike, and I'm standing there and we was waiting on somebody and some of the guys were walking by. Jesse Bates looks a lot bigger in street clothes than he does in the full shoulder pads.
Right. Yeah.
And I looked at it and Kazarsh goes, man, well, Bates is bigger than you think. And I said, yeah, but he looks a lot bigger when he's in street clothes and pads.
Yeah.
And that that means that guy can still come up and lay a hit on you too.
Well, I want to go back to something Rob said about it being a lost art, being a tackler. I don't know that tackling is a lost art, but here's what I'll say, Rob. I don't think many people are getting better once they get to the NFL at tackling.
Well, because they're not hitting anymore.
They're not hitting anything. Like you're not actually tackling in practice. It seems like at this point when you get to the NFL, you're either a good tackler or a not very good tackler. And there's not really many places you can go anymore during training camp. Now you can do the drills with the wheels you roll out there and you tackle them and do all the special teams kind of cover drills. But, man, there's nothing like seeing a guy coming on a speed sweep and having to step up and, go near knee, near shoulder and hit his legs and take his thigh pads out.
That's part of the evaluation process for coaches in the preseason when guys say, well, they don't play any of their non-starter. You know, they're not playing starters, blah, blah, blah. I don't care about the third-string guy. But that's one of the things that coaches are evaluating, how sure of a tackler you are. How good do you do those things that you cannot replicate in a practice? And then, the flip side will be guys will be like, well, that's why Penix should be playing or these guys should be playing. But you know what I've seen from a guy that we've talked about on Monday and yesterday about being on the Natron Brooks? Is he on the bubble? He is on the roster bubble. You know what I'm sure of him? He can tackle.
He can tackle.
He's a sure tackler. He hits hard. He'll go to the ground. Like, that is something you've seen in preseason games that you have not seen on the practice field because you can't.
Yeah, I think that also is the biggest difference, right, between you look at starting caliber corners in the NFL and you look at guys that are just trying to latch on the practice squad, guys that are willing, not good tacklers, willing to be good tacklers in an NFL uniform. Look, I can put a guy out there all day that weighs 160 and can run fast and cover and try to get his head around and be speedy. Can he step up, right? Is he a guy you don't have to mask defensively that can step up and play that edge and kind of set that perimeter? It's absolutely huge, and he showed that ability this past weekend.
Well, that's one thing. I look at A.J. Terrell, and I know we're going to talk about him later in the show, you know, what kind of year this could be for him. But, you know, one thing I've never doubted since A.J.'s been here, he's a good tackler. When it gets around him, yeah, he's missed one here or there. That's everybody. But the dude is a hell of a tackler, and especially in the run game. I don't remember the secondary being as good. And whether you don't whether you're not bought in on who that other starting cornerback is or not, I don't remember having three guys that have all had All Pro seasons, because we forget AJ was an All Pro in 21. Justin Simmons has four of them, and if I'm not mistaken, wasn't Jesse Bates one just last year?
Well, their success also depends on what you're doing up front. Don't you guys like the depth and the personnel and the D-line compared to last year, a couple of years ago? I think it's certainly beefed up a little bit, right?
I think you've got nine guys that you could have on this roster, the front three defensive linemen that you need to pick from right now.
Well, and I think the big thing is you went and you signed on Yamada last year, and you had Grady Jarrett. When Grady gets hurt, you go get Kendavious Street. Zach Harrison was a guy that was coming along as like a nine technique, but now you've kind of slid him into the head up four, three technique kind of role in this 3-4 defense. I think he has kind of shown himself to be a little bit better in that situation where he can use that length to kind of shed blockers. So I'm with you. I mean, look, I'm not going to sit here and you know, put lipstick on a pig at some of the, you know, with some of these situations. I think there are concerns, but I feel much better as a whole. Number one, because everybody right now is at a healthy spot, which is awesome, you know, in that front group. And you also drafted some pretty good players that you hope can, you know, find some time to sit back and wait a little bit.
Jesse Bates is a two-time All-Pro second team, by the way. Just want to clarify, he's got two of them, not one.
All right, coming up, will the Heisman Trophy reside in Athens for a third time in the illustrious history of Georgia Bulldog football? And also, in TB's timeout, I got down a wormhole yesterday about, can you teach and coach accuracy with quarterbacks? Apparently not necessarily. That's coming up next on the Morning Shift, Sports Radio, 929 The Game.
Good morning.
Yeah!
Back to more of the Morning Shift
with Tiffany, Mike, and Bo on Sports Radio, 929 The Game.
This hour brought to you by Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. Welcome back to the Morning Shift. Triple in for Tiffany. She's back on Monday, correct, gentlemen?
Tuesday.
All right.
Yeah, Tuesday.
Oh, that's right. I'm in on Monday.
Yeah, I was going to say. And check Nikki, your schedules.
Nikki Noto,
that's right. I'll be out on Monday.
All right.
I'll be here. I'm glad everybody else is off. I'll be here.
All right. 1942, Frank Sinkwich wins a Heisman. 1982, Herschel Walker wins a Heisman. In 2024, can it be Carson Beck, gentlemen? Sure. There you go.
I mean, right now his odds are just as good as anybody, and I'll kind of go through them. I know that Gabriel from Oregon is going to be the leader in the clubhouse in terms of that, man, but there's a lot of other guys out there that probably worth sprinkling money on. And you guys might be like me where it's almost never, in my opinion, worth sprinkling the favorite at this point. Like if you're going to throw $20 or $100 on something, the favorite at this point is yeah, almost a shoo-in not to. So you got Gabriel out of Oregon, that's plus 700. Carson Beck, 750. Quinn Ewers, 1,000. I actually like that one. I think he's going to put up good numbers. Jalen Milroe, plus 1,000 as well. Jackson Dart, 1,200. That one's actually pretty spicy as well. Will Howard from Ohio State, plus 1,400. And then you go all the way back position player-wise, you can get to Travis Hunter, the first position player, plus 5,000 to win the Heisman Trophy. So what did I give you? Six quarterbacks. I think I would be willing to look at Ewers at plus 1,000 and Jackson Dart at plus 1,200 if I'm really throwing it out there. I mean, otherwise, when you get down to Gabriel, and Carson Beck definitely is worth looking at plus 750, but I don't know. I'm looking for a little bit longer odds if I'm going to throw it out there. Jackson Dart at plus 1,200 and a Lane Kiffin system with a not gauntlet of a schedule. It's not terrible at Ole Miss. You could see them winning double digits. Getting into the playoffs, Jackson Dart would be squarely in that conversation at that point, right? So,
Oh, and by the way, when is Georgia Tech taking off for Dublin? Are they leaving today, I think?
Well, they need to they're going to play Saturday.
Delaware State, they're supposed to go to Hawaii. That's a 10.5-hour flight. They missed their flight. There was some issue with a bus or something, so they're going to have to scramble to try to get out to Hawaii.
What do you mean missed their flight?
They missed their flight. It wasn't a charter.
What?
Yeah. Well, how are they not on a I guess because
well, they
Delaware.
Don't have the loot. They don't have the loot for a charter. But still, they're flying commercial.
Are they the Blue Hens?
Hold on a second. That's still, you still got to have some kind of flight to get your equipment because you're not loading up on a regular Delta flight.
They're going to FedEx it, I guess.
Unless you filled that Delta flight up.
And that FedEx plane is going to crash.
Why wouldn't they just charter it at that point?
Why would you? I got to be honest with you. Why would you, as Delaware State, have signed up for a game in Hawaii?
They're going to pay you, I guess, $1 million or $2 million?
No, they're not. Dude, Hawaii doesn't pay people to come to Hawaii. You know what Hawaii was? When Bama had a bowl ban in like 2004, they were like, hey, recruits. We're going to go to Hawaii instead. We know we're not going to a bowl for a couple of years, but guess what? We're going to play in a couple of away games out in Hawaii for a week.
I don't see how that could benefit Delaware State.
Yeah, it doesn't
any way, shape, or form. Or just smart, the fact those players say, well, I've been to Hawaii. Yeah. You know, that's about it.
Doesn't seem smart.
Yeah, there's got to be some. Somebody's got to pay for that trip because that's an expensive trip. It's an expensive flight. It's especially for just the bot. Just think about the bodies alone. That's
a lot of teams
flight.
Lose money for bowl trips, especially if you try to fly the band out there.
Yeah, and you're taking weight rooms and stuff because you're out there a couple weeks. But I'm just talking about traveling a football team, non-charter. Mike, you know this with the trucks we have to take. You know
I'm trying to think.
You're having to take a whole plane just of equipment.
Dude, I wish I could. I could do a whole segment on air travel for football teams. I mean, when we played at Georgia, when we played in Athens, flew into Atlanta, stayed in Duluth. I want to say, right? I mean, we stayed not even close to Athens. I think we stayed up off 85 somewhere near Duluth or something.
What, just
like
wanted
that.
You out of the city?
Yeah, I mean that's how it always was. 20 minutes or so away. Right. You need a 20-minute ride in. Same way when you go to Baton Rouge, wherever. But it's so funny because you bust down to Athens, you play the game, and what they did after the game, this is back in 2008, what they did after the game is the airport in Athens is small. Same way in Tuscaloosa. The airport in Athens is small, and you can't take the same plane back that you took into Atlanta, right? So what they did is they split the entire team up into like four smaller planes.
Oh, you need lesser plane for lesser runway.
Right. And so, you know, it was all about, hey, man, what plane are you on? I'm on plane 3. You know, like everybody's trying to get back quick. I'll never forget that.
Was it a prop duster?
Yeah, I mean, it felt like it. You know, you probably had, I don't know, I would say somewhere between 30 and 40 on each plane. And it was crazy. You know what was crazy?
C-130?
I distinctly remember, I know we're way off on this. I distinctly remember looking at a couple of tall buildings when I was landing, and I was looking at the guys around me. I was going, dude, we're not in Tuscaloosa. Where are we at? The pilot, we land, and the pilot comes on and goes, we had to stop in Birmingham and refuel. I was like, dude, there's no way that we didn't have enough fuel to get from Athens to freaking Tuscaloosa. And Birmingham is like 30 minutes northeast of there. Like, what are we doing? And sure enough, we sat on the tarmac for probably an hour and a half in Birmingham before we flew all the way back to Tuscaloosa. And all of our friends that were on the other three flights were in Tuscaloosa.
What is Tuscaloosa, 2 hours from Birmingham?
No, not even remotely close. Like, probably from downtown to downtown, maybe an hour. Maybe.
Yeah. That's what I thought.
I think it's really close.
2 to 2.5 hours of Birmingham. It's like 3.5 to Tuscaloosa. Was that the 08 game?
Yeah.
That was the black jerseys?
Yeah, that was the black jersey.
Where Georgia dressed for their funeral?
And I would love to hear from, like Georgia the year before plays us, and in game days in, they went in overtime. I would love to hear what their flying out like was from Tuscaloosa, because they obviously had to fly back as well, and it's a smaller airport.
That's the Britney Spears game.
Yeah,
Mike played in the Britney Spears game.
Yeah, it was.
What's the Britney Spears game?
Where Mike Patrick's doing a game with Todd Blackledge, and they go into overtime, and Mike Patrick goes around me, and I got a question for you, Todd. He's like, okay. What is up with Britney?
Was that when she shaved her head?
And Todd Blackledge goes, what?
Who?
He goes, Britney. Britney who? Britney Spears. Why do we care at this point? It's amazing.
Okay. All right. I kind of got in a wormhole yesterday. This is probably going to bleed into the top of the hour if we get the A.J. Terrell.
That's the notion
of quarterback accuracy. Can a quarterback be taught and coached accuracy. And I read a big thing from Steve Smith, of course, a longtime NFL receiver, and a lot of other people kind of agree.
He's the smartest guy in the room.
Well, you just don't like it because he said you asked him a stupid question, which wasn't a dumb question, by the
way. Thank you.
Thank you. He didn't like your face through the telephone. But
is there anything I can do about that?
I mean, yeah, I don't know. Maybe it was my voice he didn't like.
That's a horrible question, to be honest.
Yeah, you know, take a hike. Once you bend your bill, punk.
That might be one of the last dudes I want to mess with, though. He's kind of feisty.
Well, I just ignore him in person. We did it secondary. Anyway, Steve Smith wrote an article.
No, we didn't write one. We'll talk about the top of the hour. Can a quarterback actually, I think about Joe Milton and guys like that, now you kind of are what you are. That's coming up top of the hour. Morning Shift, Sports Radio, 99 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.